Hey, and welcome to Outspoken. You're joined by journalists Sophie, Kate, and Amy Torber. Coming up on today's show, Kim Kardashian's most relatable moment yet, and the boyfriends of Instagram, the men behind Australia's top influencers. Well, welcome back. We're so sorry we didn't post an episode yesterday, but Easter just got the best of us. How did you guys spend Easter?
I feel like I'm still in a chocolate coma and I still have so much chocolate to eat, but it was a really great couple of days despite being in isolation.
I love that our mum still did an Easter egg hunt. And just to preface that, in South Australia, you're allowed to meet up with less than 10 people. So we were able to have a small Easter gathering and stuck to all of the social distancing rules. But mum, like, we're all 31, we've turned 31, and our mum is so cute. She set up an Easter egg hunt for all of us. It's crazy how competitive you still get in an Easter egg hunt.
Mm.
I mean, we even had to count to see who had won.
But I reckon mum was disappointed because she was telling our boyfriends that she was expecting it to be even more feral than it was. And to put it in perspective, people ran. I mean, I suppose no one pushed each other over this time.
But I feel like if it was outside, you'd be more up for the pushing and shoving. But as it was inside, we didn't want to break any of your things.
Well, mum should have been there the night before because we had a Monopoly tournament, I would like to call it, at Amy's house. And my God, you learn a lot about people when you play Monopoly against them.
Let's paint the picture. For the first time ever in my life, I am winning Monopoly. I don't even understand because the whole game, Sophie, well, the start of the game, you and your boyfriend were like the losers of Monopoly. You got all the brown properties and the airports and whatever. And somehow you pulled it out of your ass. By the time we'd swapped properties, you had started putting
I had my apartment empire on the red ones. Well, I'd like to call it BA before the auction because everything changed once we had an auction and there was a lot of bartering back and forth. And Sophie somehow managed to get a great hand of properties. And
no, I had them before.
No, I swapped you those orange ones.
Anyway.
Semantics. But what happened was Sophie was so surprised that she was winning that she became really arrogant about it and was cheering. And we were playing an edition where it was a millionaire Monopoly. So Sophie got to the point where you were paying her $10 million for landing on her property. So Amy got bankrupt. Then I got bankrupt. But Brandon and I, so this is Sophie's boyfriend and her sister, decided to work against her. And I was banker, so I was cheating and handing him notes under the table because we just wanted to take Sophie down.
I'm sorry, but you said it says a lot about me. Doesn't this say a lot about you and you cheating? All
exactly.
I did, you say I was arrogant. I literally, all I said was whenever someone landed on me was, yay.
Do you know what? You mentioned about finding out a lot about people with how they play Monopoly. I don't know what this means about our dad because I don't know if anyone else's dads are like this, but he takes Monopoly so seriously. But the challenge
he would literally turn over a board if he was losing.
Yes,
and the challenge is actually first getting him to play. But once he's playing, it's for sheep stations. He will not swap with you.
What was it that he told us that when he was in his 20s and had like a share house that he would have knives on the table in case it got out of hand?
Oh, to threaten. Do you know what's crazy? If we rewound 4 weeks ago before all of this lockdown started, the nerdiest thing you could do on a weekend is play Monopoly or board games. But now that's all I see on social media is board games and jigsaw puzzles.
Well, can you believe I actually sold a Monopoly on Marketplace this week for double the price I bought it for?
It's crazy.
Well, we should probably move on to our first topic, which is all about boyfriends of Instagram. Now, we thought this was a very valid topic because we often get paid out for talking too much about our boyfriends on this podcast. So we thought we'd delve into some of the most popular influencers' boyfriends. And I don't know if you guys feel the same, but I think that influencers, so female influencers who have a boyfriend, are even more popular than the ones that are single. I think there's something strange about wanting to look into people's lives and their relationships.
I think it's those couple goals. Like, I always love watching and seeing what they do together and seeing how they interact with each other. I find it really fascinating.
It's really relatable too when they have an argument because you kind of, if you're watching the YouTube with your boyfriend, you kind of have a little side glance and yeah, we argue about that too.
Well, do you know what's crazy? Because one couple I love to watch on YouTube is Skye Wheatley and her partner Lockie.
And those who watch Skye Wheatley, so of course Skye Wheatley was on Big Brother and now she's a huge influencer, but her boyfriend, I think he might have had an Instagram account, but he had literally no following. And all of her videos, she just lets the camera roll. It's like she's never heard of editing, and she often leaves in these raging fights between her and Lockie, which are bloody hilarious.
Lockie is such an oddball for those who haven't watched it. His name is Sweet Tooth on Instagram if anyone wants to check him out. And he is just an odd cat. He does this thing where he licks. How would you describe the tongue thing?
I
don't know.
I feel like it's a kind of a sexual thing, but it's like some kind of become his kind of thing. Like it's a joke where he'll be like,
it seems a bit predatory.
I actually love him though.
I love him too.
My favorite video with him, and it has to be back last Christmas when Skye popped into the shops to get something, left the camera in the car, and he just went off on some crazy weird story being like, making my way downtown. Do you remember that?
I do. My favorite one was when they did the couple's McDonald's mukbang, and he apparently forgot to ask for the no sweet and sour sauce, and Skye went nuts. And
I mean forgot to ask for sweet and sour sauce?
Yeah, he forgot to ask for it. And it just cracked me up because if I'd had a fight with my boyfriend on camera, I feel like I'd edit that bit out, but
they're smart because they know to capitalize on it because everyone loves that content.
Or just lazy.
I think we should probably talk about Australia's number one boyfriend of Instagram, and that of course has to be Jonathan Sauer. Now, for those who are interested, we actually interviewed Jonathan on our first Under the Influencer segment,
and we'll link it below for those who haven't heard. It was a pretty interesting chat.
Now, he is 28 years old. He pretty much rose to notoriety in 2015 when he started dating Shani Grimmon, who was of course one of Australia's biggest influencers. And it's safe to say that he was pretty much a pivotal part in her success because it was that whole aspirational relationship factor that really won a lot of followers over, I think.
For me, I think it was also the age difference. I think there was about 5 or 6 years in between it. And it reminded me of the popular girl at high school going out with the older guy.
Yeah. I recently rewatched, this is ISO life. I rewatched some of Shani Grimmon's videos when Jonathan was her boyfriend. And my goodness, he looks different. Like, we'll link his Instagram handle in the description below. He used to look so much better. Like, he's changed his teeth, and it's just astonishing how much hotter he used to look.
Well, he's really had an evolution. I mean, he was an accountant when he first met Shani, and since then he got, I think, over 200,000 followers since, you know, meeting her. And I think that really went to his head because he's really changed his appearance, as you say, and his personality.
Do you know what? I don't know if it's particularly gone to his head. I kind of think, you know, I feel like because he was put into this spotlight, it maybe has made him analyze his appearance. And maybe it's not that he's being vain. Maybe it's just that he's really insecure now because of people's comments.
True.
Is it just me, or I can't actually believe he is an accountant. He doesn't come across as highly intelligent. He comes across as quite conceited. But as you said, that may be some insecurities of constantly seeing your own photo and watching yourself on video.
Well, he's a great example of somebody who works so much better as someone's handbag or side piece, because he came across as so much more intelligent in Shani, like being in the background of Shani's videos, and than he does on his own channel.
Well, I felt like Shani did really capitalize on that relationship more so than she has in her current relationship, because Jonathan was the perfect handbag. And you look at the fact that when she publicized their breakup video back in 2018, that got 2 million views. And then subsequently, as we all know, they got back together and she did another video on that, and that got 1 million views. So how much money is that just because of their relationship?
It shows how invested people are in it though.
I almost find this whole handbag thing quite interesting. It reminds me a bit about how women are viewed in the AFL, the WAGs, how they are seen to be riding off the men's coattails. But now we seem to have this evolution of men riding off famous influencer, like female influencers' coattails, and sort of setting up their own careers, which normally wouldn't. But I think
it's nice to see that change almost.
Yeah, but I think some of the pitfalls for that behavior, and I think maybe Jonathan might be the same, is that he doesn't understand his audience.
Yeah.
So his audience are females, but he is trying to pitch himself out as like a bit of a fashionista for males and trying to pitch male brands, and that's definitely not who's following him.
Yeah, I mean, he has been smart enough to connect the dots that people are interested in his relationship, because he's now dating YouTuber Madison Woolley. But since then, it's crazy. I went onto Social Blade, which gives
gives you details about people's followings on all the different social media platforms. And since breaking up with Shani, he has lost 66,000 followers on Instagram, which I found pretty shocking. Wow. And he
what percentage is that of his following?
Well, he had 207,000 before.
So nearly a third.
It's dropped by 66,000. And according to Social Blade, he's also losing his YouTube subscribers by the day. For the past 2 weeks, he's lost 200 subscribers. And it says that his estimated monthly take home from YouTube AdSense is between $15 to $241.
So really, the YouTube wouldn't be the big income. It might be brand deals that he's doing.
But you can kind of see that because he does seem a bit thirsty on Instagram. If you have a look at his page, it's often those obvious, you know, there's obvious content, well, sponsored posts. Like, I remember there was one of him holding a Boost juice and it was just so obviously an ad for them. I feel like, yeah, you can tell by his thirsty behavior online that maybe his influence is dropping. It's really odd though, because for some reason, I don't mean to sound sexist, but when I see a man posting content like that, for some reason it seems really pathetic. I don't know, like, he seemed more appealing when he actually had his own life and his own job.
I think he's seen the way Shani does YouTube and Instagram and he copies it. Like, the other day he was seductively eating this Easter bunny and a carrot, and it was just, he almost posts the way a girl posts,
and him twirling his hair all the time.
Talking just from Jonathan on moving on to Shani's new boyfriend Tommy, he's sort of the complete opposite. We see nothing about him, yet he's come from, you know, he's played AFL, he used to be friends with Chloe Zepp and Mitchell Orville, and I think that's how he started his Instagram business, and then he got Shani on. But it confuses me, because I would assume it would be better for his career if he was more on YouTube and Instagram. Well,
what's crazy about him, for a lot of people who don't know, as you touched on, he is an ex-AFL player, and in 2019 he made a really controversial decision to retire from the Carlton Football Club despite being given a second chance to get back into football. And there were a lot of articles going around saying it was to do with Shani Grimmen and that he got caught up in the YouTube fame. Now, he said it's because he wanted to concentrate on his business, Zoots, which Shani, as you said, is a client of. He claimed that he'd managed to grow this business from a startup to a multi-million dollar business in the space of 7 months. And it was really quite arrogant the way he was going on. So I don't know if the fact that he copped a lot of backlash about that has maybe been why he has retreated and hasn't wanted to be so vocal on Shani's channel.
Does anyone know how that business is going? Because whenever I hear Shani talk about him, he's always playing PlayStation.
He's always
to the point. I noticed last week it was his birthday and she'd bought him this amazing cake, and she said the next day, oh, we're doing Tommy's birthday cake now because he didn't want to stop playing PlayStation the night before.
Well, a more realistic view of boyfriends in 2020.
Well, I noticed when he did make the announcement that he was concentrating on his business, someone wrote under the comment, oh yeah, you're really earning millions of dollars when your Zoots Instagram page only has 4,000 followers. I've had a look now. It's jumped up to 11,000, but that's really not much considering.
But they're making their money, like, they're getting the deal for the Instagrammers and they'd be taking, or YouTubers, and they'd be taking a massive cut. Like, think how much Shani Grimmen earns, and if they get 10%, it's a pretty easy way to make money.
Well, the thing that I did like, I mean, I don't feel like Tommy's adding much in regards to content, but what he did cause is a huge feud between Chloe Zepp and Shani Grimmen. And a lot of people were speculating that it was due to a cheating scandal. Now, that is just a rumor.
When you say cheating scandal, I think the rumor was that he was also seeing other girls when he was not boyfriend and girlfriend with Shani, but that Chloe Zepp didn't tell Shani that.
That's a really awkward situation, because for those who don't know, Tommy Bug was living in the house with Chloe Zepp and Mitchell Orville, and then of course Shani Grimmen was living in Brisbane, so it was a long distance relationship. You would think girl code, you might tell her, but I don't know, you also probably wouldn't want to get involved.
Also, do you think that the fact that Shani hasn't been sharing about Tommy is affecting her numbers? Because I mean, she's just not sharing in general. I think she's picked up her game a little bit on Instagram, but it only comes when she wants to push her bathers.
Yeah, exactly. She's due to drop a new silk swim range, so that's why her content has slightly picked up. I've noticed she's been pushing her fitness again. She did an ab workout today, and I think that could be potentially, that sort of started to amp up after her friendship with Chloe Zepp broke up. Do you think she's trying to compete against Chloe? Because Chloe, of course, has a very successful Zepp activewear line.
Well, it makes sense because there's so much money to be made, especially during this
you know, strange time that we're with online fitness, with different clothes. I mean, all everyone's buying is bloody activewear and hoodies and whatever.
Talking about Mitchell Orville, I've got to say he is probably one of my favorite boyfriends of Instagram because he actually plays more of an equal part. Chloe seems to be the one that can't be bothered to vlog and he's actually doing it. Kind of seems like it's good for his mental health to do it.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be one of those poser boyfriends either. I like that he has a sense of humor and he seems a bit more real. But he had a following in his own right. So it's kind of like he's not riding off the coattails of Chloe. He's sort of an equal, he seems like an equal partner. Well, for those who don't know, he started the Angry Dad channel where he, of course, captured really funny moments where they pranked his father, which was, he's hilarious.
Well, should we move on to the other boyfriends of Instagram?
My favorite boyfriend of Instagram of all time is Kurt Teals.
So that's Sarah's Day's partner. Is that because you
love Sezzy though? Like, is it?
I think they are so cute together. I think that they, similarly to Mitchell Orville, I think they are on an equal partnership in the sense that he adds so much to her channel.
Yeah, well, for those content, who don't.
Yeah, her content got so much better when Kurt came around because Kurt's a videographer and photographer and they've actually grown together, I feel like.
Firstly, sorry, I feel like I've got to interrupt. For those who don't know, who aren't obsessed with Kurt and Sezzy, like we are, or Sarah's Day, of course, Sarah's Day is a holistic princess health YouTuber who has over 1 million subscribers on YouTube and Kurt is her now fiance, which we were all very
and
excited.
And baby daddy.
And baby daddy to Fox Ocean.
The thing is, we have really seen them grow up together. We saw them move in together. We saw them have a baby together. We've seen them get engaged. We've seen them fight. We've seen them do everything together.
Renovate.
And the thing about Kurt is he's just so down to earth. And for those who watch Sarah's Day, she's very uptight and organized. And he's just kind of this calmness in her life. And I just love them together. I think they're so cute.
And Kurt's a bit more normal though, as in, you know, when you see Jonathan Sauer and he's getting his skin treatments, that's not Kurt at all. Kurt comes across as very real. His content's really like pretty to follow. And I can't remember if we've told this story, but Soph and I met Kurt and Sezzy when we were doing some PR work. And I must say, they are so lovely in person.
It was so funny because, as you guys all might know, I watch Sarah's Day with my boyfriend Brandon. I force him to watch it to the point he loves them now too. And before we were set to go on this trip, he sat me down and warned me not to be too over the top.
When we met warned them, you too.
He was just like, look, just don't act like you know who they are. They might get freaked out by that. So I played it super cool, I thought.
I was so jealous. I didn't get to go. And Sophie and Amy were like giving me blow by blows.
Well, I literally felt like I walked into a movie set just that was their house. It was surreal.
We were really respectful though. You know, it's really weird because when you watch influencers, you feel like they're your friends. So it was kind of this weird thing of we felt like we knew them, but they had no idea who we were.
It was very sad.
One of my favorite bits about talking about Sarah's Day, because we talk about it all the time and watch her videos all the time, is that Amy's boyfriend Dale referred to Kurt as Kurt.
I'm surprising even you, like, a roundabout name. What about another boyfriend of Instagram? Because I feel like we're fangirling a bit too hard.
My second favorite, I don't know if it's the consensus, is probably Sammy Robinson's boyfriend, Nick.
He's all right. I mean, when they broke up, I kind of had to detach myself from him because I feel like he might have hurt her.
Well, Nick is another boyfriend of Instagram who's started off with no following. He's a real estate agent in Sydney and
former rower.
But what I like about him is that his page is private and he doesn't even accept people following
him. And he doesn't seem to really, when he's on his video, on the videos, he kind of acts like I would think any of our boyfriends would act. They don't want to be on it.
Yeah.
But they're sort of like
not interested.
Yeah. I respect that. What does everyone think? Nick's hot? Or what's the...
I did. Like, he is hot, but I feel like he's slowly looking a bit different.
I'm going to give no comment because I don't want to get in trouble with my boyfriend about that.
Didn't your boyfriend try and get his hair cut like Nick? I think your boyfriend's
more
influenced.
Has his hair changed? So something that looks different of him.
I think we should wrap up the discussion with Mitch, who is Talia Skane's boyfriend of, I think, like 7 years.
There was a breakup in between.
That's right. He is classic. He is becoming a new favorite of mine, particularly in the boob job vlog where he was just... He was actually pretty cute with her, but just hilarious about... So, did you see the tits? They were so cute.
So Talia got a boob job, obviously, not Mitch. And he played the part of the supportive boyfriend very well. Sorry, I'm not meaning to like demean them all by talking about their appearance, but he is... I don't know whether it's just because we're 31 and he's what, like 22?
No, he's not 22.
How old is he?
He's like 26.
Oh, however old.
he is the epitome of what I do not find attractive. Like, you look at him and he's got a good body and he's like got a nice face, but there's something about him.
I think it's that he seems dumb.
No.
But he's not. Apparently he's studied psychology and got a psychology degree.
That surprises me about both of them. Like, Talia Skaines is a lawyer and he is, as you said, a psychologist, but they both present themselves in a way that's not becoming of
maybe them. It's just because they're young and they sound young, but I don't know. I think it's this like manicured eyebrow, big sunglasses, insta look that I just can't stand.
I don't like his bright neon jumpers. Like, that's very picky.
When I see him, I kind of get what Reese is always saying to me, that he thinks all the girls that I watch on YouTube and follow on Instagram look the same, and it's that fake look that he doesn't find attractive. No, and I kind of feel like that's the same with the guys. One thing, I started following Mitch recently and he was posting Insta stories of Talia the other week and they were hilarious. She's really got into TikTok like most influencers have, and she's been trying to record all these miming dance videos and he keeps like creeping up on her and making her look so foolish, and it just been cracking me up.
But that's the other thing I like about him. You can tell how in love with Talia Skaines he is.
He's so besotted by her.
Now, we could probably go on for days about these boyfriends of Instagram. So for anyone who is interested, I have compiled a list of the top boyfriends of Instagrams, gone into a little bit more detail about each of them, and that will be on our Outspoken Media website tomorrow morning if you want to check it out.
And the link will be in the show notes, but if you want to check it out now, it's just outspokenmedia.com.au, and there's heaps of maths, bachelor, MasterChef goss all on there already.
Carol Baskin.
I consider that bitch to be one of the biggest terrorists in the exotic animal world.
And moving on to the pit and peak of the social media week, and we'll start off with the peak, which was Kim Kardashian getting gate crashed by North when she was trying to do a makeup tutorial. It was bloody hilarious. Sophie, can you tell us what happened?
Well, Kim was working on an IGTV post, as you said, about her makeup routine, and she went to hide in the guest bathroom. Out of nowhere, North rocks up just asking her, you know, if she can play Pokemon or do Sonic, and you could just tell from Kim's face that she was over it. So Kim was like, sweetie, do you mind leaving because I'm trying to do this? Anyway, North pops up again, to which Kim then looks at the camera and says, I'm hiding in the guest room, you guys. I'm hiding in the guest room because my kids won't leave me alone. North, can I please just do my little tutorial? It's all I want to do. It's the one little fun thing for myself.
I kind of felt for her
because it would be so irritating.
It must be hard being in that 20-room mansion.
They sent all the nannies home as well because they probably can't be in there.
Oh, in her defense, I think she is quite a good mum. She does seem to do a lot for them. I mean, since that post, I was looking into a lot of her other Instagram posts, and she is always with them. I can't imagine Kanye would be, you know, that proactive.
What I loved about it is it's so relatable for women that are in isolation with all their kids at the moment trying to work.
Now, moving on to the pit. For me, it has to be all of those selfish assholes that went away over Easter when we were strictly told to stay at home.
Do you know what I don't get? If you've got a following, why are you sharing the fact that you've broken the rules and you've gone away? And I don't want to name and shame anyone, but I saw a few people and they were posting shots of their beach house, making it so obvious. And I just thought, F you.
I mean, I even felt awkward for posting anything that we did at Easter, because in South Australia we're lucky and we are allowed to hang out with up to 10 people. Obviously it has to be family, but I didn't want to be bragging about that because I know people in other states have got harsher penalties. The fact that these people are flouting the rules and then bragging about it on social media, like, what's wrong with them?
Well, did you guys know that police issued more than $1 million worth of fines over the Easter long weekend? So, I mean, it's safe to say they're making their money back from all the money they're
Was that minister who got done for going to his beach house and got fired. So, I mean, I'm glad to see that they are actually implementing the rules.
Did you guys hear about the couple that got sent a fine because they uploaded throwback photo of themselves on holiday and the police came to their door and fined them, but they've overturned it.
I think they should have a hotline where you can dob people in.
They do.
Really?
Well, yeah, you can dob people in.
Oh, well, I would have dobbed people in.
Mm. Did you know in Queensland, there were some crazy fines handed out. So some people got fined for driving to a rubbish tip. Then there was someone who also got fined for going on a Tinder date that was 70 kilometers from their house.
Oh, well, that's not essential travel.
Yeah, but then this other wealthy businessman, he took a private helicopter to an island for some sort of picnic date. And I think it was the second time he did it. So he copped the whopping fine.
Oh, good.
But there's just so many selfish people out there. Like, How difficult is it to understand? And just the fact that they don't think that the rules apply to them, but they apply to everyone else.
Yeah, because they are above corona. If anything, we've seen that corona hits the wealthy at the moment the most. I mean, it's obviously going to trickle down to the poor, but the people that are traveling are the ones that are getting it.
Now, moving on to what's been filling up our news feeds this week. And oh my gosh, did anyone see Roxy Jasenko's Instagram throwback pic? So these were photos, her, what is it called? Her glow up photos of what she used to look like about 15 years ago compared to what she looks like now.
Well, it was actually called the Bloom Challenge. Oh. It was some sort of promotion for a new Stan series that's going to be on.
Oh, is that what
always
it was?
Always working hard, yeah.
Yeah, well, I was shocked at
the
transformation.
She really has bloomed. She looks like Pixie, her daughter. You can see where the red hair comes from.
Well, that's what I felt a little bit uncomfortable because Roxy's obviously stunning and Pixie's gorgeous as well. But it makes you think when you see those photos, will Pixie go, oh, I want to look like mummy when I'm older?
Well, that being said, I absolutely love and respect Roxy Jasenko. Yeah. I think she's incredible. And I like the fact that she was kind of having a bit of a laugh at herself as well. I mean, she's been very vocal about the fact that she has had a lot of plastic surgery done. I think she's had a nose job, boob jobs, veneers, many different things done. And I like the fact that she just owned those photos.
Yeah.
At least she was transparent about it. I mean, I've got some photos that I would die if they were dug up. Not that I've had any plastic surgery done, but they're just hideous from high school that I would probably never post on social media. So good on her for sharing. Now, the next one. Sophie's two worlds have collided with her favorite TV show, Love Island UK, and her favorite YouTuber, Anastasia Kings North, coming together potentially. You were very excited about this one.
Oh my gosh, as soon as I saw the YouTube video, I text Kate and Amy straight away. So over the weekend, Britain's top YouTubers all put out videos where they donated their AdSense to support the NHS, which I thought was a great initiative. Now that was started by Saffron Barker, who is one of the hugest YouTubers in Britain.
The hugest?
The biggest.
The biggest, sorry.
I got a text from Sophie that didn't even make sense. It was like, did you see Anastasia's on the show? And I was like, what are you talking about?
That's so sad.
Anyway, so Anastasia put out a tipsy assumptions video where she revealed questions that her followers had assumed about her. And no, I did not include any questions in this.
Is it odd to watch a 19-year-old girl's tipsy video?
Watching it by myself last night when Reese was in bed and I was like, is this weird?
Don't make it sinister.
No, I'm just joking. She's so entertaining. I loved it. And it got so many views because she prefaced it with that the money was going to the NHS. Mm. I sat through a lot of ads.
Yeah, well, explain what happened.
So she got asked whether there was any truth to the fact that she would be appearing on Love Island. So much to my delight, she confirmed that she has actually met with producers and there were talks that she was going to be on the winter edition, which has just aired. So of course she wasn't on that, but we do have the summer edition of Love Island coming up and they have confirmed it's going. I thought they confirmed it was going ahead.
Well, they haven't not said it isn't. I found it interesting how I think she was dropping little breadcrumbs because she said that she really liked Luke M. I mean, who didn't?
She liked Finn. She said both.
She said both, but she said Luke M was her, you know, favorite. Is he still with Demi?
I have no idea. I feel like that would have ended by now.
I follow him. I haven't seen her for a little while on there.
Well, it will definitely be interesting if she does appear on the show because she's never had a boyfriend before.
Sorry, just back to Luke M and Demi. Has anyone noticed that it's now become a term in the press? They're self-isolating together. I think I read somewhere that they were self-isolating. It's a bit like with with all that Casey and Michael from MAFS, all their cringe paparazzi shots popping up. That's what they said in there. They're like, they're self-isolating together.
Well, that's the next interesting article that I've seen filling up my feed. The fact that not only has Casey hooked up with Michael, but she actually hooked up previously with Connie's partner, Johnny, Jonathan,
Connie
with an E.
And Johnny. I was shocked because there was no sort of inkling of that happening at all. Nothing was shown on the show that indicated that they'd even spoken to one another.
I feel like it's very detrimental for MAFS because it's just showing how fake it was. The fact that some of them got to that last ceremony when obviously all this partner swapping. I mean, I still don't get it. How did they not capture all of this for the show? How come it's more interesting outside of the show what's happening?
It sounded as if from what Johnny and Casey had both said, is that it sounded like the producers had got all of the contestants to have other dates with other contestants. It's like they had all this vision and they chose to portray things in a totally different way. As in, I think that Johnny potentially cheating on Connie didn't fit the narrative that they wanted of Connie rising above it and, you know, loving herself and having him support her. I think if it was just really, they would have sat down with all the vision and then storyboarded how they wanted each character to come out so of
it's fake.
Yeah.
She's fake, Ron. She's fake.
The other thing that's been making up my feed, despite it being postponed until October, is Coachella. I feel like every celebrity is still showing off that they've been to Coachella.
Is it just me or could anyone else not give a shit about Coachella? Because I don't care at all about
Amy's it. Amy's very passionate about not caring about it. One person that does seem to care a lot about it is Beck Judd.
So you're going to say Sophie?
Well, Sophie and Beck
Judd. We did have an argument. We were going to have a full Coachella topic, but according to Amy, no one gives a shit.
Well, anyway, Beck Judd gave a shit because she posted on Instagram a flashback to Coachella and said that she wants to see everyone sharing all their memories of Coachella. One person that got aboard that, I'm not sure if they follow each other, was Talia Skanes, who was kind of whinging a little bit about not being at Coachella.
I feel like which is a bit tone deaf. Suck it up. That's what I'm a little bit sick of hearing. We touched on it last week. All these celebrities. I would have been on my fifth holiday of the year. Well, us mere mortals don't go on holidays for years.
Yeah. So,
welcome to the real world. That being said, though, hashtag Couchchella is currently trending because on Friday, Coachella released its 20-year anniversary video. So it should have been its 20-year anniversary on April 10th.
Will people be getting dressed as ridiculously as they do at Coachella for on their couch? Because like, that could be pretty uncomfortable.
Well, I actually stumbled across, when I was watching endless hours of YouTube this week, an influencer who I don't know who it was, but she was actually putting together Coachella outfits because she does it every year. So she did one in isolation and put together some crazy outfits that she would have been wearing to Coachella.
Every time I see Coachella vlogs from influencers, I always just think, how awful would it be to be there amongst all those people?
Oh, and it'd
to
be great people watching.
No,
though.
But it would be. But can you imagine being dressed like that? And then when it gets cold, it just makes me feel sick.
It would be interesting to watch that documentary, though, to see the evolution of the festival, because it did obviously start in 1999.
I couldn't give a rat's. Like, I honestly couldn't.
Like, but I'm just saying, there's... like, how much has it evolved from then until, like, all these entitled rich YouTubers
If it's like the Fire Festival, then I would be interested to watch, but I don't think it will be
But
like
how
that.
Has it evolved? They just had music acts and then they have wankers rocking up in, you know, body paint and glitter.
Well, I think it was a bit to be more genuine.
Well, if there was someone who actually did a real documentary on it and went into the owners of the Coachella Festival,
I just don't find it interesting. Well, on that note, I think that's all.
Well, safe to say you won't be watching that documentary over
Sophie's
the weekend.
Sophie's going to go watch Couchella. Amy's going to watch. Oh, one thing I wanted to end with is everyone needs to get back onto Sex and the City, the movies.
I'm sorry. You're so excited to give this recommendation. It's just such a basic bitch recommendation of, the Sex and the City movies. Oh. I think everyone is listening has probably seen it, Kate.
No, but it's so nice to watch it back. I forgot how good it was because I remember it got a bad rap, but it was actually really lovely and calming to watch.
That was Sacha Barry. What is his name? Sacha Cohen would say. Which Sex and the City character are you?
That's not such a Samantha thing to say.
Well, if you did enjoy today's podcast, we'd love if you could leave us a rating or share the podcast in your Insta story to let others know about it. Also, if you want to check out our outspokenmedia.com.au site, we'd love you to have a look. We've started uploading articles recently on all things reality TV, and we're going to do a bit more on influencers. And if you've got any suggestions of what you'd like to read, let us know, because we're having so much fun putting it all together.
Amy, how many times do I have to say that is my pet peeve? We can come up with our own ideas.
I know we can, but there might be things people want us to write about.